Welcome to Highly Questionable. We are all shocked around here because Poppy needed a day off. So we have Danny, the stage manager, filling in. And we have George Sedano over there. George, what do you like on the show?
Astros.
I'm wearing makeup.
You are? Let's do this, Danny.
Where does Patrick Mahomes' injury leave the Chiefs and the NFL?
It's an absolute natural over here. Yeah. Well, the Chiefs feel a lot better today than they did last night. The MRI on Patrick Mahomes' knee revealed no further damage, no ligament damage. It's essentially best case scenario. And initially, the thoughts were best case scenario would keep him out about 3 weeks. Last night, it was quite scary. And after the game, you heard Travis Kelce talk about it didn't even look like a knee. And look, I understand that this is a different sport, a different injury and everything else. But coming off of this Kevin Durant experience in the finals, when Patrick Mahomes gets back, I'm still not going to feel comfortable watching him play. I'm still going to be fearful of him re-injuring himself when he got injured on a quarterback sneak that 42-year-old Tom Brady can do in his sleep. This sport is very violent, and we just lost the best highlight this league has for probably about a month. I'm still not going to feel great when he comes back, but if he does, the Chiefs still have the AFC out in front of them. They have the Patriots up there. The Bills, nobody really buys into. The Baltimore Ravens are a question mark. And you've got the Houston Texans up there. Of course, we're worried about his knee and his long-term health. But if he comes back after a month, the Chiefs can take a deep breath and continue their run.
He is the most explosive and exciting player in the National Football League. He's must-watch TV every single time he's out there. Look, the bad part is this. The next 3 weeks, if he is out 3 weeks, is they're facing three top 10 defensive teams. They're facing the Vikings, the Packers, and the Chargers. All top 10 in defensive efficiency, so that doesn't help. Matt Moore is in there. Now, Matt Moore is a backup for a reason. Hell, I think most of us just realized Matt Moore was still in the league yesterday. Matt Moore is a guy that can get you a couple wins here and there. I will say this, though. The advantage that the Chiefs have is that Andy Reid, historically, has done well with Donovan McNabb, Patrick Mahomes, and the occasional backup like A.J. Feely or whatnot. So I think they can get by for the next couple of weeks, stay in the hunt. They may have lost home field advantage to New England at this point, but they're good enough, as Izzy pointed out, to stay near the top of the AFC because the rest of the AFC kind of stinks.
I'm pretty sure whatnot went 2-1 under Andy Reid.
Yeah.
This is easy.
So far.
Who deserves more blame for the Broncos' struggle this season? Joe Flacco, Vic Fangio, or John Elway?
Well, if you want to put them in order, it's pretty simple. John Elway's number one, probably Fangio number two, and Joe Flacco three. Joe Flacco has not been horrible. He's been okay. He's had some moments. Vic Fangio, the jury's still out on. Now, against a team that has given up 180 rushing yards for four straight games like the Chiefs had, when you can only rush for 70-plus yards, yeah, that's a bit of a problem. And his game plan seems to leave a lot to be desired. But it's John Elway. And frankly, if we were to do this over again, it would be John Elway 1, 2, and 3 for the reasons. Just look at the turnover of coaches, four coaches in his 8 years. Just look at the quarterback that he's had out there, Paxton Lynch, Trevor Siemian, Brock Osweiler, and he's got Drew Locke, apparently seemed to draft him just because he's 6'4". If John Elway didn't get Peyton Manning patched together and win that one Super Bowl, we would be mocking him forever. It's only really that Super Bowl that has him sitting in that chair still.
Yeah, it's clearly John Elway 1, 2, and 3. There is no other way to describe this. John Elway, if his name was John Smith, would have been on the street a long time ago. Basically, Peyton Manning saved his career, right, as an executive. I understand that he's won them the Super Bowls there and he's a legend, but we've actually tossed out legends at other organizations or mocked them endlessly. Magic Johnson comes to mind. Derek Jeter comes to mind. This is a team that only ran the ball for 72 yards against a Chiefs defense that's pretty atrocious. They're in the bottom third in the entire league in every major defensive statistical category. This is all on John Elway. Even a once great defense isn't necessarily working out. The offensive line gave up 9 sacks yesterday. This team is a complete disaster, and the only man you can point to is John Elway because he's the architect.
Wow, I look good. Lucio, you did well. How panicked should the Pelicans, the NBA, and the fans be about Zion's knee?
Well, here's what we can take from a Woj tweet earlier today. It's not a catastrophic knee injury, but he will be out for a period of weeks. How long that is, we don't know. What we do know is that this was the fear from the very beginning. Look, we saw him in the preseason when he did play, 23 points a game, shot a ridiculous 71% from the field. We know he's not just ready for the NBA. We know he's ready to take over the NBA once he's healthy. But this is the problem. That body, that explosiveness, and that frame, those knees might not be able to hold up. You hear people say that Zion might be overweight. He does look like he's got a little bit of the baby fat in the face and could probably trim down. This is just proof that he's going to absolutely need to trim down, because those knees have to hold up for his career to look anything like, I don't know, a Charles Barkley, where he's running up and down and dunking on people for decades.
Honestly, I'm not going to try to play a doctor on television, but this isn't much of a surprise. We saw him at Summer League. We worked with guys like Vince Carter and Kendrick Perkins and guys like that on ESPN who talked about his weight at that particular event. He only played 9 minutes. These guys said, man, he looks 30, 40 pounds overweight. He looked better in the preseason. But this is a pretty big deal, not only for the Pelicans, but for the NBA, because he's the guy that we all believe will eventually get the torch passed to him. Man, his Summer League game had regular season eyeballs on it. This isn't good for anyone, so they need to take every precaution they can with him.
George, he was the biggest star in basketball as a college freshman. All eyes want to be on Zion Williamson. We have not gotten enough of Zion because of his college injury, because of the Summer League injury, and now because of this. Everybody wants to see him heal and not have these knee problems for the rest of his career.
Yeah, but we're talking about a number of knee injuries in a short period of time. That's not necessarily good, as I think that this is the type of stuff that you have to keep your eye on. Again, I'm not trying to play a doctor, but I don't love the way his career started.
Do I get paid for this?
No, you're certainly not getting Poppy money. You might get a donut on the way out the door. Pretty much.
Should the Yankees have any hope against Justin Verlander tonight?
Kind of sensual there, Danny. Look, I'll give you some reasons as to why they could have hope against Verlander. His first start of the postseason, great. His next two, not so great. A 5.23 ERA. In his last outing, 15 fly balls. Those fly balls against the Yankees could easily turn into some home runs. And if you're talking about Gerrit Cole in the next game, I would say, look, even Gerrit Cole has had his worst game of the postseason in his last start. So if you want to convince yourself that the Yankees can come back in this series, yeah, it starts with tonight. But let's be real. I mean, this is a Verlander that is rested again. You'll get Gerrit Cole in his full rest. And you're talking about the prospect of beating these Astros when you've been cold and your defense has been terrible. It just looks like the Yankees are sort of going to call it quits here. And the Astros, a juggernaut, are going to keep rolling.
Look, there's been a lot of controversy about the balls, whether they were juiced during the regular season and maybe not so juiced during the postseason. Yankee fans in particular have taken umbrage with that, with Didi Gregorius the other night. So I don't believe that they're in a position to succeed here. They're down 3-1 against, let's face it, what's a better team? If you just watch them, forget the stats. The Yankees have come up small in the biggest moments, when the bases are loaded, when they've had opportunities to take advantage of the Astros. They haven't come through. Meanwhile, the Astros, in every one of those situations, seem to come up big. They get the big hit. They get a big home run. They get a big out when necessary. This spells doom for the Yankees, unfortunately.
I'm going to win an Emmy. Who would you rather be on Sunday, the Eagles or the Cowboys?
What, you're a thespian now? Is that an impression?
That
was absolutely terrible. I never want to hear it again. Look, I'm not even going to get into X's and O's with this one. I'm not even going to get into the injury reports, because they both have significant players missing. This is just a mentality thing. You've got 2-3-3 teams at the top of their division. You've got the Eagles a little bit carefree because they're going into Dallas, knowing that later in the year, Dallas is going to come back to Philadelphia and they can even things out. Dallas has to absolutely be panicked here. Losing 3 games in a row, having Jerry Jones constantly hear questions about Jason Garrett, Dak Prescott underperforming, Ezekiel Elliott underperforming. If they don't win this game, it's going to be nuclear in Dallas. Philly, not that big a deal if they lose.
Yeah, I disagree with that. Anything that happens in Philly that goes negatively never gets dealt with properly. Let's not dismiss that by any stretch of the imagination. But this, to me, is simple. I think Dak Prescott is the fourth most important person on his offense, behind Ezekiel Elliott, Amari Cooper, and their offensive line, which has some injuries, as you pointed out. The other thing is this. He feasted upon a terrible schedule to start the season. The Giants, the Redskins, the Dolphins. He threw 9 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. Since then, against tougher competition, he's only thrown 2 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. Carson Wentz is the more talented player. Since he's had some health back, particularly with Alshon Jeffrey, he's been a different player at that position. They've been able to run the ball a little better, which allows him to get a little more into his comfort zone. Yes, the Eagles' secondary is a disaster, but Dak Prescott has proven that, to me, he hasn't been able to accomplish very much in the passing game when facing another quality opponent. So I'm with the Eagles on this.
I actually have an opinion on this.
Yeah. Nobody cares.
Time to play the game that is an absolute star. do you question?
You give us topic and events, and we'll question them.
Do you question who won this battle? Tyler Herro or Michael Carter Williams?
Well, this is a preseason game between the Heat and the Magic last night, and former Rookie of the Year Michael Carter Williams, and yes, you have to say that every time you introduce him to remind you that Michael Carter Williams won Rookie of the Year, but he got into a little bit of a conflict here with the Heat rookie Tyler Herro. Looked like a bit of a flop from Tyler there, but they get into it a little bit, right?
Yeah, but it's okay. That's what happens when you get to the NBA. You start to learn those finer techniques.
But very next possession, Tyler Herro is what, George? He's a bucket.
Yeah, he's a bucket.
That's a three-pointer.
There's the drip.
And he's a talker.
Oh, yeah.
And he's a talker right there.
Here we go. Getting ready. Referee's had enough. Double T.
Enough.
Yeah. Oh, you want some? Come get some. Come get some, Carter Williams, MCW.
19 years old, that kid. He's going to be something.
He's got as much swagger as anyone in Miami in a long, long time. The Hurricanes would be proud.
I like rookies.
Three words at a time. That's all we're letting him do.
Do you question which is more impressive from Robin Lopez? His defense or his shooting?
This is Bucks center. I'm sorry. It just makes me laugh every time. This is Bucks center Robin Lopez, and you might be saying, hey, hey, stop right there. That's actually Brooke Lopez. No, they're both on the same team this year. By the way, so are a couple of Antetokounmpos. It's a family thing in Milwaukee. And you're wondering, Robin Lopez, his shooting, what are you talking about? He's only made 11 threes in his 11 seasons. But apparently, in Milwaukee, every Lopez turns into Splash Mountain. Here he is with some defense first.
Yeah.
Get that shot out of here.
Get
and we know
some.
He can do that. We've always known he can do that, right, George?
Yeah.
And that. He usually, usually yells at mascots, not other players. Yeah. But get Karl Anthony Towns' shot out of here.
Good Lord.
But, George, this is the shocking part. This is the new Robin Lopez. A couple of Splash Mountains over in Milwaukee. Look at this.
Look at
how
that.
Smooth that is.
The form.
Splash.
Nothing but net there.
He's clearly been working with Kyle Korver, which, surprise, he's also on the Bucks. We're all going to find this out in
is
about a week.
Is that a separate three?
That's another three-pointer.
Oh, wow.
JaVale McGee's hitting threes in the preseason. Robin Lopez hitting threes. Things are going crazy.
It's like Oprah just handing out threes all over the place.
Have you guys done this for a long time?
A little bit.
Because this is my first day, you know, and we're at the same table.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, yes.
Do you question which catch was more impressive?
Clearly, this is not going to be a couple of Denver Broncos catches because they didn't really do anything last night. We're going to take you first to East Tennessee State, see what this collegian's doing with the football.
Mitchell. All right. Looking downfield. Look at that. Nice throw. Whoa, Odell Beckham Jr.
Holding off the DB with one hand and catching it with the other. That's pretty impressive right there.
That's nice.
Just amazing.
That should be a pass interference penalty, too. But is this one better at a high school football game?
Okay. Not a great angle.
It's high school football.
Oh, I love those.
If there's anything that's going to teach a DB to turn around and look in the ball, it's when you face guard and still have the ball caught around your back. Gave him the old spinner.
How do you just not take a step back? The ball just gets right out at that point.
You know, guys, those were good, but I've seen better.
Way too comfortable.
Flexing.
Way too comfortable.
Oh, no.
Hey, buddy.
Oh,
yeah.
Look at those mitts.
Yeah. Woo. Nice stab there.
Do you question if this guy should be famous?
Is it a picture of you? Because no. If there was a sport where this is necessary, yes, he should be famous. This looks like a halftime act in an NBA game, no?
Yeah. It looks like Red Panda. Yeah, I would say we just made him famous, if he's not already.
Is this going to be the new trend? Are people going to be trying this on Twitter? Don't.
Yeah.
Don't.
It's like the new Tide Pod challenge.
I actually prefer when backflips go wrong.
Oh, we have a montage of this. I know we do.
Oh, no.
You have to stare right at it, Danny. You have to look at every single one of these.
That
just didn't seem...
Oh, come on.
And a sad Spider-Man. You okay, buddy?
Gotta do better than
okay,
that.
Okay, Spidey?
Time to play the game that is having a party at Dan's house tonight while he's still on vacation. See or no?
I'm pretty sure he has no idea who you are. And you did it wrong. You tell us what to watch on TV tonight. We'll tell you if we're intrigued. Let's get it over with.
Sunday at 1 p.m., Cardinals and Giants.
Who would have thought even 2 months ago that the quarterback you'd want to watch in this matchup was Daniel Jones and not Kyler Murray? There's a couple of players coming back in this game, by the way. Saquon Barkley after his injury and Patrick Peterson after a six-game suspension for PEDs. The Cardinals, by the way, zero interceptions on the season. Here was Kyler Murray last week. Against the Falcons here, one of the most disappointing teams. Is that a great throw?
Is it?
Or is it just an unaware DB?
No, he actually put it where he needed to put it. That's a good throw. Nice touch.
Yeah, but if a linebacker turns around, that's an interception.
But that's why he saw he was on a linebacker. Linebackers aren't used to turning around in that situation.
You're wrong, George, but are you intrigued?
Because Kyler Murray's on my fantasy team. Let's go.
Nobody cares. I'm afraid to ask. Danny, are you intrigued?
I'm very intrigued. Both of those guys are rookies, and Danny loves rookies.
Yeah, you're the worst rookie of the bunch.
Yes.
Sunday at 4:25, Ravens and Seahawks.
Of course, another ridiculously exciting quarterback matchup with Russell Wilson, potential MVP, and Lamar Jackson. But this is Earl Thomas's first game against the Seahawks after he did this last season to his coach. Remember that? Love you. See you down the road.
I love how the Cardinals guys are patting him on the back after that. Yeah, good job.
Your back there. How about you, George? Are you intrigued?
CC, I'm always in for some former employee disgruntledness. I don't know if that's a word, but I just made it up.
How about you, Danny? Are you intrigued?
CC, I'm very intrigued. Poppy never uses a no card, so I don't understand why they gave me
You can't throw things around here, Danny.
Broke
please.
Dude, what's wrong with you?
Sunday at 1 p.m., San Francisco and Washington.
We tried to give you three straight great quarterback matchups, but for this one, we'll just give you some storyline instead. And this is Kyle Shanahan, former Washington assistant, taking his undefeated 49ers to play Washington, which just won a game that they didn't want to win against the Miami Dolphins. Here he was talking about his time with Washington.
Kyle, what was the best part about coaching in Washington?
Being able to work with my dad and be around some other good coaches.
What was the worst part?
Everything else. I liked a lot of the players. Some good people.
Efficiency. We love that in a head coach. George, are you intrigued?
CC, more disgruntled former employees. I'm in.
How about you, Danny? Please, let me know.
Guys, how many more of these do we have to do? Because I really have to be somewhere.
Why are you whispering? This is not a library.
Saturday on ABC, number 16, Michigan, and number 7, Penn State.
College football tends to get swallowed up around here by the NFL over the weekend. But one thing people tend to know is Jim Harbaugh's record against good teams. And he is currently 1-9 against top 10 teams since he's been at Michigan. And tomorrow night, he's at number 7, Penn State.
And welcome back to Happy Valley. Big game fireworks. All dressed in white for this annual display of support for the Nittany Lions. A crowd that is proactive, disruptive, and persuasive.
I've always thought a crowd dressed in all white wasn't really that intimidating, but I just thought about it. It absolutely can be. How about you, George? Are you intrigued?
CC, I'm always looking forward to see if Jim Harbaugh just falls flat on his face again.
How about you, Danny, the stage manager? Are you intrigued?
CC, I'm very intrigued. Jim Harbaugh has really struggled against top teams. This goes all the way back to his early matchup against Michigan State, when they blocked a punt and ran it back in crunch time. Harbaugh has never really been the same, and so many of the hopes and dreams of the Ann Arbor faithful have gone unrewarded. I'm picking Penn State.
Didn't sound like he was reading that at all.
At all.
What just happened here?
That's all the time we have for today. Thank you for watching.
Poppy can never take another day off.
Never. But subscribe to my podcast. There's an NBA preview there, Sedano Show.
Great job, guys. It was really good. Nice job, Jorge.
Terrible.
Really?
Terrible. He's never coming back.